Now I'm a Believer. Written by BeBrave13 and read to you by
Black Glass as Gian.
42 Do Not Panic as Buck.
Robin Fye as Chim.
With BeBrave13 as Maddie and narrator. A 911 fic featuring the pairing Maddie Buckley slash Howie Chimney Han. As the front door opened, Maddie practically vibrated with anticipation. She clutched the microphone in her hands, palms sweating, and locked eyes with Buck, giving him a single sharp nod. He grinned, all that enthusiasm and charm just the same as from when they were kids, and pressed play. The door swung open, revealing Howie with a box of cupcakes and a growing expression of realization crossing his face as music began to play. Maddie looked at him, smiled, and then began to sing. Okay, so this was not a sentence that Maddie ever thought she would be saying, but she's thankful that Ji-Yun's Shrek obsession happened. It, of course, had not been herself or Howie to introduce her child to the movie, but since she was six and they had a new baby, there was a lot more TV watching than Maddie and Howie had ever let Ji have before. Sometimes it made Maddie feel like a shitty mom, but the reality was that when Howie went back to work and she was still on maternity leave, it meant that she had to do everything by herself for, at times, 24 hours straight. And Maddie could do that. She could. And it was fine. And she was getting help from literally everybody she knew, including her coworkers and friends from dispatch when they weren't working, and the Lees, and everyone at the 118, and Athena. So Maddie had a village. But these were her children, and she was not going to leave them, and she was fully capable of handling them both for one day by herself. Well, with a little bit of TV to cope, at least. When the baby was down, it was much harder to muster up the energy to play with Ji-Yun the way she used to because of how tired she was. On good days, she could manage it just fine, but when the baby had been crying all night for no reason, because, of course, he developed colic, Maddie often found herself on the couch with Ji watching a Disney movie in their spare time. One day, when Howie's schedule had allowed for a glorious 72 off, they had also managed to get childcare from the Wilsons, who offered to host all the 118 kids for a big get-together, complete with games, movies, snacks and candy, and a make-your-own-pizza night. Ji had been overjoyed to go, and Hen and Karen had been generous enough to take the baby, too. She and Howie had been so excited for that day, but all they'd ended up doing was cuddling on the couch, eating takeout, and then taking a nap. Ah, the joys of being the parents of a newborn. And of course, little did they know, that day was the start of something they would remember forever and that would live on in infamy in the Buckley Han household. Ji-Yun's Shrek obsession. Maddie knew how kids were. She'd seen it happen with Evan's Egyptology phase and his dirt bike phase, and honestly probably a million other times than those when he was an adult. But she'd lived through Ji's Frozen phase and her ballerina phase, and she supposed that it was about time for something new to come onto the scene. But she hadn't expected that thing to be Shrek. Neither had anyone else. But apparently all of the kids had decided that, since Ji was six, that it was about time they introduced her to the Shrek movie. And somehow, the 2001 animation and storybook characters had enthralled her enough that she'd prattled on and on about it the entire car ride home. Maddie had thought that was going to be the end of it. But she had been very wrong. And the worst of it was that Ji-Yun didn't even really care about Shrek himself. Nor Donkey, nor Fiona. No, Ji-Yun Buckley Han was obsessed with the Gingerbread Man. Maddie loved her kid a lot, but the Gingerbread Man had probably the most annoying voice in the history of ever, and she had to listen to it constantly. It didn't take very long for her to be driven a little crazy by it. Ji wanted to watch the movie. She talked about it constantly. She wanted the soundtrack played in the car. She made all her play games about stories set in the Shrek universe. Maddie did some creative Googling to see if there was anything she could do, but all that turned up was some unhelpful post about how kids would eventually grow out of phases, a bunch of memes, and one haunting post from somebody who'd apparently used to watch Shrek in their head as a kid because they'd memorized the movie. Maddie cut back on the TV after that, just in case. So she'd substituted in the soundtrack. Shrek, weirdly enough, had a good soundtrack. Hallelujah, You Belong to Me, Bad Reputation, and Maddie wouldn't have minded listening to it if only on a less frequent basis than she did, but it was better than the movie. The movie, after all, had led Ji-Yun to start asking everybody,
"Do you know the Muffin Man?"
She'd done it to a stranger in a grocery store last week, who thankfully had just looked amused, but Maddie had just about facepalmed in the middle of the store. It was Ji's favorite thing when the other person was in on the joke, and would complete the bit from the movie answering the question with, "The Muffin Man?" And then G would yell back,
"The Muffin Man!"
Howie had tried to see if G understood that the dialogue had come from the scene when the gingerbread man was technically being tortured, but G didn't seem to care, so they left it and indulged her. One morning, over coffee and toast, Howie had looked at her, dead in the face from a long shift and then a sleepless night due to baby tears, and asked, deadpan,
"Do you know the Muffin Man?"
Maddie, who had been running on empty for a few days, looked back soullessly and inquired,
"The Muffin Man?"
Howie nodded once, solemnly.
The Muffin Man.
He took a sip of coffee and then looked back at her, his mouth twitching. Maddie lifted a hand to cover her own smile, but it was too late, and the two of them burst into hysterical laughter that made G run out of her bathroom with her toothbrush still in her hand and ask,
"What's so funny, Mama?"
Neither of them had been able to answer with how hard they were laughing. Thankfully, Christmas came and went without any major incidents, gingerbread haunting Maddie's dreams after G had come home from her baking time with Uncle Buck, where he'd informed her that G insisted on decorating all of their gingerbread men like the character from Shrek. She had viciously bitten a few of the heads off the cookies, but they had been delicious, and she was secretly vindictively happy that it had been Evan forced to deal with this particular facet of G's obsession rather than herself and Howie. In January, G had started to calm down on Shrek, which Maddie and Howie were both grateful for, finally seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. Only for G's birthday to come and Uncle Buck to exact his revenge for the gingerbread man cookies in the form of gifting G a complete box set of the Shrek 1 through 4 DVDs. Maddie had no idea where he'd even gotten them, but Buck had insisted that there were bonus features on the discs that G would adore that made just streaming the movies out of the question. He even made sure that their house had the equipment needed to watch said DVDs, pestering Howie about the setup in their living room until he was satisfied. After that, Maddie had dragged her feet, unwilling to continue her torture at the hands of DreamWorks' old animated films, but she yet again fell victim to the temptation of an easy afternoon with her daughter after finally successfully putting down the baby for a nap and feeling extremely tired.
"Sure,"
she'd thought.
"Fuck it! Let's watch Shrek 2.
Maddie should have given in earlier. Maybe it was just because she was tired, but Shrek 2 was hilarious, and it had the benefit of not being the first Shrek movie, and therefore was shiny new content that neither she nor Ji-Yun had ever seen before. When the climax of the film was upon them, Fiona needing to be saved from Charming and Shrek and his friends rallying around him, the fairy godmother changing her dress and beginning to croon, holding out for a hero, Maddie found herself actually invested in the proceedings on screen. When Charming spun Fiona around the dance floor, the expression on her face cringing, Maddie was thrown by the empathy she felt. As a rule, Maddie didn't think much about Doug these days. Her previous marriage felt like another lifetime now, but something about the situation, with the fairy godmother crooning in the background singing, "And I dream of what I need," sent Maddie back to those days of feeling trapped and small, just waiting to turn the corner on a good moment that could sour in the blink of an eye, convincing herself that this was love, even while part of her screamed and raged and desperately, desperately hoped. G shrieked with joy when Mongo appeared on screen, her obsession with the gingerbread man unlocking a new level of fervor at the sight of the giant version on screen, and the battle set to the music was engaging and well-edited. Maddie's finger tapped on her thigh as she mouthed the words to the song. Holding Out for a Hero had been released the same year she was born, and she'd liked the song growing up. Maddie knew how to be her own hero, but when she was a kid, sometimes she'd wished that somebody would show up one day and start helping her instead of her helping everyone else and herself. She'd thought that person would be Doug. He seemed so supportive and like everything Maddie had ever wanted, attentive and so very into her. But it had been a front. It had been the opposite with Howie. She hadn't really wanted anyone in her life after leaving Doug, but he'd been there, steady and kind and funny as hell, and she'd fallen over Buff Fridays and karaoke nights and movies and long conversations and secrets shared and healing laughter. Howie knew what it was like to lose a sibling, to have difficult parents, to dedicate yourself to helping others because nobody had really helped you, He knew what it took to be the positive person in the room, to face hardships and ostracization and come out the other side with your head held high. And then he had been there to save her when she needed him. When she'd fled to Boston and when she'd been captured, he'd come for her, to rescue her. Maybe he wasn't a typical storybook hero, Maddie thought, but watching the odds Shrek overcame to get to Fiona, watching them choose to stay ogres and love each other authentically, something in it stuck with her. And when G had her start adding the Shrek 2 soundtrack to the rotation, sending a new wave of songs for the Buckley Hahn family to memorize, Maddie finally realized what she wanted to do. She called Buck for help, since this was all his fault anyway, and her brother had luckily agreed without too much teasing. He'd always been good about playing her games with her when they were kids, so this was no surprise to her. She also brought G in on her plans, and her daughter had been over the moon that Maddie was actively participating in her Shrek obsession. It had taken some time to coordinate, and a visit with her doctor one more time to confirm that her voice would be totally and completely fine before Maddie put everything in motion, waiting for the perfect time of Howie getting at least 48 off. Then she texted Evan about the timing, got the Lees to agree to take the baby for the afternoon, and began to prepare. When the time came, it was as simple as mentioning that she could do with one of those special cupcakes from the bakery across town, and Howie shot off like a rocket. Once he was gone, Buck swept in with his supplies. When Howie was close, Maddie having kept an eye on his Find My Friend's location, they scrambled into position and waited in anticipation for the door to open.
Where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods?
Maddie started. Chim's face lit up in a smile as he entered, obviously recognizing the song from how much the Shrek 2 soundtrack had been played in the last few weeks, before closing the door behind him and leaning back against it to watch her.
Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds?
She beckoned him to come closer instead. This performance was for him, but he was welcome in it. She wanted him there, with her, so he could see how much she meant every word, knowing that they had both fought to be here.
Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed?
Chim raised his eyebrows, amused as he pretended to toss his hair like a posturing knight, and then found a place to put down the box of cupcakes nearby.
Late at night I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need.
Hit it. Ji-Yun sprang out in her gingerbread man costume, laughing and beginning to dance while Buck turned on some zany multicolored moving lights, the choir singing in the background while Chim huffed out a laugh and waggled his eyebrows at her.
I need a hero. I'm holding on for a hero till the end of the night.
She pointed at him, wiggling her hips as she sung.
He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight.
Howie wasn't fresh from any fight, but he was strong and fast because when G barreled towards him, he picked her up and swung her around while Maddie finished the chorus. Joy poured out of her every pore as she continued.
I need a hero. I'm holding up for a hero till the morning light. He's gotta be sure and it's gotta be soon and he's gotta be larger than life, larger than life.
The last time that she and Howie had done karaoke together was long before the baby had been born, and with Maddie's throat injury and how she'd lost her voice for a while, she hadn't been sure she'd ever get to sing with Howie again. It was such a foundational piece of their relationship, and she'd missed it more than words could describe. Maddie had always found being on stage a very powerful place for her. Owning her presence, prepared, enthralling her audience, the stage was Maddie's. She loved being a nurse for the same reason, and had found that working at dispatch filled the same hole. Maddie, on stage, was sure in a way that she hadn't been able to find in other places in her life, especially when she was younger. When she and Howie began to sing together, it turned from a place of power to a place of safety and joy. Duets with her husband, singing Islands in the Stream or Lucky by Jason Mraz and Colby Calais, or Love is an Open Door during G's Frozen phase, were all times in her life when Maddie was happiest. She was only happy to be able to add to those memories today, with the first performance she'd been able to put on since her throat injury. Somewhere after midnight, in my wildest fantasy. She continued on to the second verse as G wriggled out of Howie's arms and he put her down. Maddie reached for Howie and grabbed his hand, looking into his eyes and singing,
Somewhere just beyond my reach, there's someone reaching back for me.
Howie squeezed her hand, and his brown eyes grew more serious, knowing she was referencing all of the hardships they'd been through, where they'd been physically separated, and all of the times he'd chased after her to find her and bring her back home.
Racing on the thunder and rising with the heat. It's gonna take a Superman to sweep me off my feet.
Maddie told him, turning the last line into something playful and teasing, bringing lightness back to the situation. Howie took up her challenge and lifted his arm so she could twirl underneath it, their hands still intertwined. She felt like she was in high school again, blushing and shy and elated, every moment counting for something large and lasting. She tucked herself into Howie's chest for a second, and then he spun her out before she let go of his hand to sing the bridge.
Up where the mountains meet the heavens above!
She looked over at Ji-Yun, who was now miming a disco move with Buck, looking very silly in her costume. She connected eyes with her brother, and an amused smile passed between them.
Out where the lightning splits the sea!
She turned back to Howie and mimed the same little disco move. He quickly caught on and did it back, smiling.
I could swear there is someone somewhere watching me.
She sang, and Howie did the I'm watching you movement, almost making her break.
Through the wind and the chill and the rain, and the storm and the flood, I can feel his approach like a fire in my blood.
During the song's instrumental break, Maddie tossed the microphone and let loose with her family, all right here besides her baby, having fun and doing silly moves, laughing and being free.
You're my hero,
Howie whispered to her when they were close.
So beautiful and talented. I'm so lucky.
Maddie felt herself tear up. I love you, she told him.
And I love you,
he replied. She was so thankful she'd held out for him. For Howard Hahn. Every time she'd been close to giving up, even when she didn't know that he existed and she wondered how or why, it had all been for him. And even when it had been for herself, that had also been for him and the family they had made. So she swept her arms wide and said, Sing with me! As the music swelled again, and they all sang the last chorus together, Buck and G and Howie and her, jumbled and disjointed, but with love, with love. With love. When they all ate cupcakes on the floor when the song finished, they were as good as Maddie remembered. Thanks for getting these, Howie, she told him.
Well, if I'd known I was going to get a performance for doing so, I'd have volunteered sooner,
he joked, brushing a piece of hair away from her face.
Gross,
Buck declared.
Don't do that in front of me.
What? Flirt with my wife? Scandalous. Don't play this game with me, Buck. You won't like where it leads.
Chim taunted back good-naturedly. But instead of being discouraged, Buck's eyes lit up.
Oh, I know. Gee, do you want to watch Shrek 3?
Gee gasped.
Yes, please! Mama, Daddy, can we watch Shrek 3?
All right. Seems like Evan was playing dirty yet again. Maddie knew that, unfortunately, she was never going to be able to escape the Shrek franchise. But that was okay. She winked at her husband and turned to her brother. Maybe all that frantic Googling about Shrek was about to pay off right now. Sure thing, Maddie said. After all of this, I'm a changed woman on the topic of Shrek. Isn't that right, Howie? You might even say, now I'm a believer. Buck groaned viciously as Chim cackled and Maddie stuck out her tongue. Ji-Yun, not understanding the joke, cheered and ran over to the DVD boxes to grab the set, and Evan jostled his shoulder against hers.
That was terrible.
You love me, she said. Howie squeezed her hand.
Yeah, we do.
She knew it. She felt that love every day in the hard times as well as the easy ones. She was so lucky and so loved. And it was with all the love she possessed that Maddie grabbed the remote sitting on the coffee table to turn on the TV to, once more, watch Shrek. The end.